In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading this week's show. And a big thanks to our sponsors who help keep this show free for you to listen to every single week.
From coast to coast and border to border, it's Tailgate Radio.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading episode number 99 as we blast the show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. And speaking of 50 countries, I've been watching the Olympics. It's winding down. The closing ceremonies are this weekend. And there are countries I've never heard of. And then when I go back and look on our run sheet, I see that there are countries represented as listeners of Tailgate Radio that are at the Olympics that I'd never heard of before either. So it's amazing the reach and the scope of being able to do a show every week in a podcast form and know that people from all over the world are listening to our little show about tailgating and the tailgating culture. And if you want to learn more about our show, you can always do it at tailgateradio.com. We also have a huge Twitter following over at Tailgate Radio. And we're going to be trying some new things this year and really excited about an upcoming tour that we're working on to be a part of for football season, which is just right around the corner. So we better get our asses in gear and get this thing figured out so that we can be out in the parking lot. And hopefully next week on episode 100, we'll have an update about a tour that we've got coming up and who's going to be participating and if we're going to have some cool giveaways to give out. I guess that's what you do with giveaways, is you give them out to the folks that we meet out there in the parking lot across the country. And speaking of which, you know, NFL preseason is in full swing. I watched the Packers. As you know, I'm a Packers fan deep in the heart of South Texas, which is probably sacrilegious in a lot of ways. And I'm not a Cowboy hater. And unfortunately, the Houston Texans, their reach really doesn't, for this part of the world, their reach really doesn't extend much past Houston. But the Dallas Cowboys, you know, for years they were called America's team. They still are. I don't think that's true anymore. But anywhere you go, you can find a Cowboys fan. Texans fans are very isolated, I think. And it's not, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just the truth. I like the Texans. I think they've got some good upside this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs again. But this is Cowboy Country, and down here in San Antonio, we broadcast our show here on the banks of the Riverwalk in downtown San Antonio. Just a few blocks over is the Alamo Dome, and for a number of years, the Cowboys had their training camp at the Alamo Dome. If you haven't been to San Antonio, by the way, oh, and this is a quick, cheap plug for our city, come to San Antonio and enjoy everything that this town has to offer. It's a very unique city. It has a melding of cultures, both traditional American, Spanish, Mexican, German. A lot of people don't realize how entrenched in German culture we are down here. And it's just a really unique city. One of the four unique cities. I'm trying to remember who the writer was that said there were four unique cities in the U.S. And it was New York City, San Francisco, New Orleans, and San Antonio. And I know everybody has a great city, but it really is. If you haven't been here before, stop by. And if you do, give me a shout. I'll come have a margarita with you anytime. So getting back to preseason football and preparation for the football season. It's right around the corner, folks. And so this week, we're going to be dedicating the show to some different game day gadgets because we feel like you need to understand what you have out there, what products you can get a hold of for your next, for this season, really, and this season's tailgate party. So we'll have some game day gadgets for you after the first break. I also want to talk to you a little bit about the Olympics and, you know, just the spectacle of the whole thing. I mean, I have DirecTV, and it has a fantastic Olympic experience channel where you've got sometimes as many as 7 channels at once, and you can choose which event you want to watch. And I've really gotten into the Olympics this year for some reason, for the first time in a number of years. And have you been enjoying the Olympics? You know, the first week is a lot of team sports and things like that, and then the second week is track and field and swimming. And I enjoy the first week more. I usually like track and field more, but for some reason I really got into the rugby, got into the women's rugby, got into the polo, things that you never see. The handball, I love the handball. So the Olympics have been interesting. And of course, there's always off the track or off the field drama. And of course, that idiot Ryan Lochte. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw, he had a show on some channel a few years ago, and he was one of the dumbest guys that I think I've ever seen. And you know, it's not, I don't get off on insulting people, but you know, to say you were attacked and held up at gunpoint when it was a lie, when you were being destructive. And that's what's happened. That's what's come out in this whole case. But then if you go back and look at his thing, I mean, he's not a mental giant. And so and I can't remember what show that guy had. I mean, it might have been like on the E! Channel or something like that. But yes, you can take away my man card for watching the E! Channel. But he had a very short-lived show. I think it's just because he was so much of a buffoon that he was like a walking train wreck. And this just solidifies that for me. I'm just, you know, great accomplishments in the water, swimming, and that's about it. I don't think that constitutes necessarily being rewarded if you're an awesome swimmer, but you're a buffoon in life. So anyway, I will... in this commentary portion of the show, and we'll get back to more tailgate radio. So anyway, I just am curious if you'll give me some feedback on what you thought about the Olympics this year. And if, you know, all the stuff about Zika and, you know, the gloom and doom. And of course, every host city tries to shield their scabs, their scars. I know they put up a wall to separate the good Rio from the bad Rio in certain sections so that the poverty and things like that wouldn't be seen. And of course, Sochi, Russia did that. I'm sure most cities do that when they host the Olympics. They've got a global audience, and they want to put the best foot forward, so to speak. So is that necessarily a bad thing? I don't know, but it certainly hasn't been the disaster that the media tried to portray prior to the Olympics starting. There have been some setbacks, as there always are, but by and large, it's been a very enjoyable Olympics, and I'm glad I've paid attention this year because I've learned some new sports, seen the emergence of new athletes, and that's never a bad thing either. So let me shift gears. Let's get back to football season. And yes, I know we neglect, for the most part, we neglect the motorsports people that tailgate. And I have tailgated at Texas Motor Speedway, up in New Hampshire, out at Bristol. I've been to Talladega once. So it's not that I'm not a fan of motorsports, of NASCAR, of NHRA. Done a lot of that. Las Vegas, we've been out there. We actually had a tour with the I actually participated in a tour with the NHRA back several years ago. So I love motorsports. But for whatever reason, the tailgating culture, for me, and I think for most of the listeners, because, you know, we see spikes in our listenership in the fall and the winter throughout football season. And then our listeners kind of go into hibernation, some of them. Our audience has continued to grow, but we certainly see more people as football season approaches and throughout football season. So for any of you advertisers out there, if you wanted to spend your money, now would be the right time to do it because Tailgate Radio has some inventory. But I digress. My point is that Tailgate Radio, for whatever reason, has been geared toward football season. And this is the time of year where everyone is thinking about tailgating, getting their menus together, heading off to Costco to get that kielbasa sausage, heading off to the big box store to replenish all of your supplies, plates, knives, charcoal, coolers, whatever it is. I know you're doing it because I'm doing it too. I mean, that's the great thing about this show is I'm just like you. I don't have a $500,000 RV that's tricked out. I'm just like you guys. I get in my truck, I go to the games. There are certain games I go to locally, and there are certain that on the tour I will participate in. And when we do go on the tour, then yes, there are other accommodations that I make. But when it's game day and it's just me and my family or my friends or my old college buddies, I do exactly what you guys do. Pay a ticket, get a tailgating pass, go out into the parking lot, offload, have a blast, grill a bunch of food, drink a few adult beverages, and head into the stadium and watch the game. That's what it's all about. That's what makes this so much fun. And so if you haven't tailgated, and there's an estimate between anywhere from 35 million to 50 million of you tailgate every year. So I know there are a lot of you that listen to the show that aren't just listening passively, but you're an active participant in the tailgating lifestyle. And if that's the case, this is your showtime. We're almost there. In fact, you know, I watched some preseason games last week. There's some more starting tonight with the Green Bay Packers, as I mentioned. And the season's here, folks. It's showtime. This is the fun time of year. The one thing that hasn't happened, and it happens later here where I'm located than a lot of you, is that first touch of fall weather. It's still brutally hot across the country for the most part. But when you get that first crisp, cool morning, and you're out in the parking lot, and you take a deep breath, and you swear you can smell the beef, the chicken, the pork, whatever it is that you're cooking, whatever you see, when you look across that landscape in the parking lot, and you see that beautiful sight of smoke rising above the parking lot, and you see the canopy tents, and you see the flags, and you see people standing around with their cups, and you see people tending to the grill, that game day experience is something that you really, it's so authentic, it's so genuine, it's so real. And for so many different places to be doing it at the same time, but in their own way, with their own traditions, with their own recipes, with their own flair and style. That's what makes tailgating so much fun. And that's why I've chosen to talk about it on Tailgate Radio. And as we get into the season, we're going to be out in the parking lot. We're going to be doing some live reporting, I guess, from parking lots across the country. And we're going to have some correspondence, too. So when we're not out in the parking lot, we'll be calling and speaking to people who are in the parking lot. So I want you to get really excited about this year's season, not just because your team is 0-0 and has the same chance as everybody else to win a national championship or win the Super Bowl. It's because you get to be an active participant. You know, when you go to work every day and you punch that clock and you're there from 8 to 5, or if you have a job where you work a ton of overtime, or if you're a long-haul trucker, it doesn't matter what you do. Tailgating is your escape. Tailgating is the opportunity to be with friends, family, food, fun, all those things. It's something that you look forward to. It's a lot of work. In a lot of cases, it's a lot of work. But you're willing to do it because the payoff, that social interaction, you know, we sit behind our keyboards and we sit behind our desks and we isolate ourselves. And this is really one of the last places where we can get together in a social environment, have fun. Doesn't matter how much money we make. Doesn't matter what color, what race, what creed we are. We can all enjoy it together. So, Tailgate Nation and Tailgate World, it's time. Let's go out there and have some fun this season. Because I think it's going to be a blast. And I'm really excited. With all the craziness going on in the world, this is an election year. With all that craziness, the sanity and the fun and the reminder of what makes this country great happens every weekend out in parking lots across the country. And with that, we'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. But first,
there's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded in the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold. But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear. One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer the town had ever tasted. The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as the Banquet Beer. Coors, the Banquet Beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
All right, folks, and we're back here with more Tailgate Radio. I am on the road in Dayton, Ohio, and this week we're going to be talking about the best of game day gadgets, some of the coolest, most innovative, most practical, and user-friendly products out there this week on Tailgate Radio.
We've got the mastermind behind a tool that you've got to have in your backyard, at your next tailgate party. It's called the Grill Minder. And to talk to us about the Grill Minder is the Grill Meister himself, maybe. We'll talk about his name, Mr. Dan Teicher. Dan, welcome into Tailgate Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. excited to be here.
Every time I have an inventor, a company that comes in with a great new idea or an improvement over an existing idea, there's always a story behind it. So first of all, before we get into the nuts and bolts of your product itself, tell us a little bit about the mindset of what got you guys started with the product called the Grill Minder.
So it's basically trying to fulfill a need that, you know, in the backyard, grilling out all the time. Find myself a lot of times throwing my food on the grill and, you know, chasing my kids around and, you know, losing track of time. So that's what kind of started it. And, you know, I always looked at my watch or my phone and I always kind of forgot what time it was and, you know, I always lost track. So I ended up putting a Timex watch on my actual handle of my grill to remember to set the time. And actually never remembered to actually hit the button. It was kind of rotated down and just, I don't know. So I always thought, you know, maybe there's a way to, every time I want to come back to the grill, it should tell me exactly how long my food's been on. So I figured out a way to do it, and hence the Grill Minder.
If you're somebody like me, and I like to fidget opening the grill, closing the grill, checking on the steak temperature, you're telling me I can kind of get a split time like in the old slalom days in the Winter Olympics. It's going to tell me exactly the time between my previous visits.
Yep, exactly. So every time you open and close the grill, one of the timers, the last open timers, will reset to zero, and it just starts counting up. The other timer just stays going, and it tells you their total cooking time. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, every time you put your burgers on, you close the grill, you go do what you're doing, you come back and you look at the timer and it tells you, you know, your burgers have been on 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So you open it up, you flip your burgers, you close it, and the bottom timer resets back to zero and the top timer keeps going. So it's pretty simple. That's kind of my theory behind it, is really, really simple, but, you know, really helpful.
Talk to me about the process from the Timex watch to the final product that you've got packaged and out for sale right now. How long a process was that, and how much research and development went into creating the product?
So you talk about, you asked about kind of the whole, how I came up with it. Well, I had the idea. I'm like, oh, it's got to be out there. So the first couple of months was trying to find it. You know, I assumed there was something else out there like it. So I, you know, went all over the websites and time, you know, different timing companies and couldn't find it. So I figured, hey, you know, I'll make it myself. So I pitched it to a couple of different companies, and one company that makes thermometers and other timing devices, things like that, grill thermometers, remote thermometers, called Maverick Housewares. They liked it. They loved it. And so we partnered with them. So they helped me kind of develop it and kind of go after, you know, the right production side. In the meantime, I did some, you know, patent work and got a, you know, patent pending on the concept or design and everything. So went after that and developed it with them over, you know, a couple of months, and then got a prototype, changed some things here and there. Changed them back, you know, made some updates. And so as far as the timeline, it took about probably 2 years from idea to, you know, what I'm holding in my hand, a timer on my grill. So it takes a little while, but we had to do it right, you know.
Did you come from a background of creating products, or was this your first foray into being an inventor?
I've come up with a couple of ideas, but nothing really electronic-based like this I did. And you know, what I've found is best to partner with somebody who knows what the heck they're doing and not do it all on your own. So work with these guys, and they have the factory contacts and everything. So it definitely helps to lean on someone who's done something similar before, that's for sure.
Yeah. What was the most challenging part of this whole process of getting it out there to the public?
I guess, you know, just making small tweaks. You get a prototype that was almost perfect, but then it wasn't enough weather resistant, so we had to make some changes there, because it's something you want to be able to keep on your grill. That's another great thing about it, is actually stays on the handle of your grill. You come out, it's there, you push the button to turn it on, and it's good to go. So it's real nice, because it's nice and easy and simple, and it's always there. So just kind of making small tweaks to each prototype kind of was a little bit of a hurdle, but something you got to, you know, you expect.
I'm here with Dan Teicher, the guy behind the Grill Minder. And Dan, one of the questions I wanted to ask is, as far as the design goes, were you involved in the actual design as far as the molding of the plastic and the size of the device and kind of all of those, you know, really small details that go into creating a product like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly pretty close to the first sketch that I did. I sent it over to them, and they kind of made some tweaks, and the sizing, they came out with a bigger one that was a little bit too big, so we made it a little smaller to make it, you know, just so it's not too big on the handle there. And, every step of the way, it was, you know, integral part, so it was kind of fun to do it, and even more fun to have it, you know, on the grill now and letting it rip.
How can folks get a hold of the Grill Minder? Again, I mean, we're going right into the perfect time of the year for most of the country, into grilling territory for the spring and into the summer.
Yeah, right now you can buy it on our website. It's thegrillminder.com. And actually, we're running a special here with Tailgate Radio. If you follow us on Twitter, tell us you heard about us on Tailgate Radio, we'll reply to you with a $5 off code that you can use on our website. So it's $25, and with that, you get down to $20 delivered to your house. So it's pretty cool deal there, and we'll ship it right away.
Absolutely. Tailgate Nation, you heard it right there. A $5 discount on the Grill Minder. For $20, you can have this thing on your grill in a matter of days. So we're going to make sure that we get that out to the masses, and hopefully you'll have a flood of orders coming in for the Grill Minder. What we're going to do at Tailgate Radio is we're going to put a link directly to thegrillminder.com on our site. So if you want to find us through there, you can, or go directly to the website, whatever works best for you. Now, when they go to the website, when they go to thegrillminder.com, what can they find there?
The features and any, you know, frequently asked questions. But we're not selling any other products right on there right now. It just tells about us, has some comments from other customers, and you can just click and buy it and use that $5 off discount, and we'll ship it out to you.
This is not a $150 price point. This is $25. $20 with the Tailgate Radio special discount. This seems to me like it is a no-brainer and should be on the grills of every household throughout America and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you ask that, because I told a few people about this before we even came out with it. They said, oh, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. You know, it's on your grill. It's always there. You need a timer. But then it doesn't really click on a lot of people that every time you close it, it resets down to zero and starts counting up. And it's, you know, there are thermometers out there. And I saw one to a guy the other day. I just happened to be in his house. And he's like, oh, I got something like that. And he looked for 5 minutes and couldn't find it. And he finally pulled out one thermometer, two thermometers, and it came up with something that wasn't even close to it. Well, you know, he had to look in 10 different drawers for that thing. This, you know where it is every time. It's on your grill handle waiting to be used every time. So it's a great price point. You know, we find that most guys, yes, you're gonna use a thermometer when you're cooking a lot, but most of the time you're probably not. You're going to be throwing some burgers, some chicken, hanging out. You want to know, you know, how long it's been on there. It always answers that question. How long has my food been on the grill? You always have an answer to that question. Yeah, John, thanks again for having me on. You do a great show, and listen to it every week, and you do a great job. So I appreciate you having me on. All you guys can go to thegrillminder.com, and you can buy your one, two there, however many you want there. And but first of all, go to at thegrillminder, follow us on Twitter, and we'll respond with a $5 off code. If you hit contact us through the website, we'll do that as well. Just make sure you told us you heard about us on Tailgate Radio, and we'll get that out to you. And once you get it, grill with it and give us some feedback. Post some pictures. Also on our Twitter account, we're going to be giving Grill Minders away all summer. People are going to we're going to have a contest where you post pictures of your grill and what you're doing at the tailgate. And we're going to pick winners either weekly or monthly, and we'll get some free ones out there too. So definitely follow us on Twitter and tell us about where you heard from us.
This is the publisher of Inside Tailgating Magazine, Mr. Stacy Moore. Welcome in to this week's Tailgate Radio.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me on.
We have talked in the past
about the business of tailgating and how you have, and that you get to live all week working, thinking, testing, trying out new tailgating products. And then, oh, when the weekend rolls around, you get to go do it again. So the business of tailgating is quite a interesting entrepreneurial endeavor, I guess. And I know over at Inside Tailgating, you guys have done a great job of creating ongoing content and photos and recipes and contests and all that. But you also get inquiries about getting into the tailgating business, so to speak.
Yeah, we get all kinds of inquiries from people starting up new products and wanting to get some general industry information or figure out what's the best way to go about breaking into the industry. Yeah, we're constantly getting inquiries all the time.
You know, and the way people start businesses now has changed so much. Even, I would say, in the last 5 years or so, what are some creative approaches that people are coming to you with that are interested in getting into the business of tailgating?
Yeah, one of the things that we're seeing a lot of is people are starting Kickstarter campaigns. I'm sure most people are familiar with the Kickstarter website, but it's a place where people go and they create new projects and they ask people for money, and people pledge anywhere from $1 up to thousands of dollars to get a project off the ground if they like it and think it's a cool idea. And you know, Kickstarter actually had its most successful campaign this past year, I think ever actually, was a cooler that a lot of people have heard about called the Coolest. So that that cooler that has everything from a blender, stereo, bottle opener, all sorts of cool gadgets on that cooler, if people hadn't checked it out, they need to. But that project ended up with over 62,000 people pledged money to it. They had a goal of $50,000, and they raised over $13 million through Kickstarter.
Wow. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm busy making a lot of coolers now.
No kidding. What do you think resonated with that particular Kickstarter campaign that really caught the attention? Because I've gone over to Kickstarter and Indiegogo and some of those other crowdsourcing, and you know, to me, it seems like it's a hard. The process is really unique, but it seems like it'd be very difficult to get the word out about your product or your service that you're trying to create that campaign for. So what do you think they did so well, or do you think it was just a case of the product selling itself?
Yeah, I think this was actually his second shot at it, and I think the first time he went at it, he had more of a crude design of the cooler and stuff like that in his... I think his first campaign on Kickstarter was not successful, actually. And I think he kept at it. He came back again, and I think he did a great job with PR and created momentum, and everyone was like, hey, this thing is really cool. This is a cool cooler. And, you know, it just snowballed. Like I said, with this crowdfunding and crowdsourcing, you have to hit a level of momentum to get you over the hump. It's definitely probably a struggle to hit that, to get to that tipping point, and obviously not all projects get funded, but this guy made it really successful.
Yeah, you know, it seems like anything like that, you know, they always say, for example, in business, you know, the first $100,000 are the hardest to make, but once you hit that, it tends to grow exponentially from there if you have sound business practices. And so it sounds like this guy really... the first go-around may have gotten the kinks out in the second one, because I know on all of the social media that we're associated with at Tailgate Radio, there was a video, there was a link, there was something linked to that Coolest cooler. And I clicked over, and it's just a really great product, it appears to be. It looks like it's going to be well-made, and you know, it's demonstrable there on the website where you can actually see exactly what it does. And that's amazing. You said $13 million.
Over $13 million with the 50. Yeah, original goal was $50,000.
Wow.
And yeah, hit over $13 million. I think it's the largest think this is the largest success story ever for Kickstarter, and obviously a pretty cool tailgating product. So I think that's got a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs that want to create kind of the next greatest tailgating product out there hitting up Kickstarter, and then they email us and want some pub, and we got in a couple last week that I thought were pretty interesting.
So they're doing the same type of crowdfunding operation?
Yeah, both of these are on Kickstarter, so people can go to Kickstarter.com and search for them. One of them is called the Adventure Blanket, made by a company called Tribe Provisions, and this blanket is made specifically for the outdoors. And so, you know, if you don't want to bring a blanket from home off your bed out to the tailgate and then it rains or it gets dirty and a mess, this is an ideal blanket to take with you. They actually sent me one of them. It's really cool. It's about 5.5 feet by 4.5 feet, and it's got an attached stuff bag to it. So you know how you use these stuff bags for your sleeping bags and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
This blanket has its own stuff bag that stays attached to it, so you cannot lose it. And so that makes it real easy to take out and use and put back up. It's got a quilted look to it. It's double stitched, and that helps keep the foundation and form of the blanket. It's really soft polyester interior. It's weather resistant nylon on the outside, and extremely durable. So you can asphalt, you can lay it on the grass, you can do all sorts of things with it out in tailgate lots, and you won't be able to rip it up.
And you said it's called the Adventure Blanket?
Say again?
You said it was called the Adventure Blanket?
Yeah, it's called the Adventure Blanket from Tribe Provisions.
All right, so we can go over and to Kickstarter and take a look at that, and if you feel so inclined, support that company. That sounds like a great, very practical use product out there. And, you know, having the attached bag is great, too, because even when you're, you know, sitting and watching a game or out in the parking lot, you can just throw your stuff in there and not worry about it getting lost until you pack the blanket back.
I think those guys are going to be successful. They're only about $5,000 short of their goal, and they got about a month left on their campaign. So,
all right, Tailgate Nation, get out there and support them.
They're going in the right direction.
That's fantastic.
Another one we got in was a new tailgate chair. You know, you've probably seen some cool innovations and new chairs out there along the way. And I believe this one's actually a Canadian company that they've built a lightweight aluminum chromed reclining tailgate chair that comes in three different versions. The basic one's only about $69, and it has a bottle opener attached to it.
Nice.
They have an elite version where they put in a folding table that can fold a lot of different ways, and it has a USB connection in the arm and in the table as well.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people that have these devices, they need a USB plug-in. It's got some battery power. It's got a solar panel on there to power a small battery so you can get some power in this chair. And they make a cooler that has speakers that can attach to the chair as well. There's a couple of different versions of this chair out there. It's called the NV chair, and they are also on Kickstarter.com.
And you know what's amazing, and a lot of people probably don't realize it, is that there are people out there that are lawyers, that are bankers, that are biologists, that, you know, their secret desire is to be an inventor or create that product. And it doesn't see, I mean, I know you see them on a regular basis, and so do we. The creativity and the entrepreneurial spirit and the ability to create products out there that are great for tailgating. And there never seems to be a shortage of new ideas. Do you find that over there at Inside Tailgating?
never a shortage of new ideas. That's one of the things that makes this industry so fascinating. There's a lot of innovation going on, you know, anywhere from, you know, when they created that first, you know, portable cooler that had, you know, that had like wheels on it and a go-kart and sitting there riding a cooler around like it's a motorcycle around the tailgate lot. So, I mean, who would have ever thought of that?
Yeah, I was actually at the sports licensing and tailgate show a few years ago, and a guy got arrested going down Las Vegas Boulevard driving one of those things. So it was funny. It made the news, but it was also great publicity for that company. Speaking of great publicity, tell us about what's going on over at Inside Tailgating. You guys have a community that you're building, and you've got a great magazine that you can subscribe to and a great website. So tell us how we can connect the Tailgate Nation to Inside Tailgating Magazine.
Yeah, check us out on InsideTailgating.com. Send us a tweet at Tailgate with us or connect with us on Facebook. We're putting out fresh content every week. Yesterday we actually just published an article with 5 YouTube videos for Kansas City Royals related tailgate songs for the World Series that's going on now. It just kicked off yesterday. So always can have interesting, new, and fresh content up on our website at InsideTailgating.com.
Here at the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here with Greg Wilson. He is the head guy.
I'm basically the head of operations, CEO, and president of Wrecking Ball Helmets. I'm also known as Wrecking Ball.
Nice.
That is my, I guess my, not my stage name, but my game name whenever I go out and about.
And for those listening, Wrecking Ball Helmets, I'm looking at your booth, tremendous pop visually. Where did the inspiration for these wearable helmets come from?
Well, it actually goes pretty far back. So I was an officer in the Canadian Air Force, and back in 1995, I was posted to a helicopter squadron in Shearwater, Halifax. And basically what happens on the weekends, you know, you're there's always a barbecue in the summer. So the guys would get together, and one time, you know, they'd have the wives and kids, and one guy decides to come out, and he wears his helicopter helmet on. You know, I don't know if you've seen a helicopter helmet. They're kind of roundish and large. And, you know, obviously he got all the attention. Everyone had a picture with him, and, you know, the girls thought it was cool. And all the guys get jealous. So the next week, the next barbecue, everyone shows up with a helicopter helmet on. Well, then the next guy, and everyone's trying to one-up. So then the third week, someone shows up and paints it like a baseball. Next guy shows up, paints it like a basketball. And afterwards, it's turned into a tradition. So every weekend, we had this thing going on. And then I remember sitting back in the mid-90s going, man, this is a great idea, but who the heck's going to buy a $2,000 helicopter helmet and take it to sporting events? So I've always had the idea in my mind. Well, I'm an aerospace engineer by trade. And so I basically reinvented the helmet or the ball, so to speak, and found a way of basically downsizing it. Well, I didn't downsize it. The one I'm wearing right now, this enormous one, is the first one I ever made. I thought it was just for myself. I was going to be a fan at a sporting event. And, you know, I showed up to the sporting event not knowing. I thought, oh, man, people are going to think this is awful. I don't think they're going to like it. But it was the complete opposite. Your reaction is the same as everyone else's reaction. It's a smile.
Yeah.
It's just complete, like, wow, that guy looks like he's having the best time over anyone else. Pitcher goes, pitchers, just like it was when I was in those barbecues back in the military. So to make a long story short, after 200 people a game or more come up to you and ask you to buy a helmet, you say, well, maybe I don't want to just be a fan anymore. I really got to do something with this. So went out, spent the time and got 18 patents applied. And so far I've been issued 16 patents. And we basically, if you put a ball on your head for any sport, I own that patent. And we've defended that patent successfully once already with and what's happened now is that we've basically been able to find a way to downscale even the one I make and make a version which is very very aesthetic. You can see it looks good on men, women. It has no demographics. It's blue collar, white collar. No, it's not. We have kids as young as 12 that can wear it and have fun. We have, you know, adults as old as 60 who have fun. And then the first reaction, as soon as you put it on your face, you beam with a smile. Even though you don't see yourself, you know you look funny. And it's a way to show your fandom, right? It's like the ultimate expression of a fan. You know, I call it like imagine a cheesehead, but it's not limited to one sport or team. I can, as you can see, I can do any sport, I can do any team, I can almost do any occasion. I have 120 of these things. If I wanted to, I could wear one virtually every day. I could find a reason to wear one. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, that's kind of the morphing of how we got to this point right now.
Now you're a brand new company, right?
Brand new. I mean, I've been developing my product under the Wrecking Ball Helmets LLC name for the last 3 years, 4 years actually. But this is the first time where I've had the product. We finally had our overseas manufacturer has finally perfected it. It took us over a year and a half to develop the manufacturing side. Very complicated, you know. And I'm not afraid to admit we struggled with manufacturing overseas. We had to use 3 or 4 different manufacturers till we got it right. It's your typical story of a young entrepreneur where, you know, you come across failure after failure, but you have to get over that and take the next step and, you know, wipe off your face and get back to it. And then finally we got to this point. We didn't decide to come here until about 2 weeks ago. So we got the sample and I put it all together. And as you can see, it's the product speaks for itself. I mean, I always know I just got to bring the product here because it's so visually striking. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because I love my product. I just know because I've experienced it at every game. If I walk into a stadium, all eyes are on my product or on me or on my girls.
Right.
We call them ball girls, by the way. And as you can see, they're very perky and very fun. But it doesn't matter if it's girls or guys. It's the same attention across the board.
Now one question I want to ask you is it comfortable?
Yes, very comfortable. Actually, let me try and show you one real quick here. Bring it. So as you can see,
I'm looking at the inside of one of the wrecking ball helmets.
As you can see, the inside, it's fully adjustable. It's got 3 foam pieces, and see, there's an empty cavity, so there's enough rigidity that if you're a kid, it stays on your head. So what actually holds it in place is the rear support. It has positive, it keeps it in place, and so it's removable. And so if you're a little kid, it's a bigger insert. If you're a guy with a large head, it's a smaller insert. And it is literally a one size fits all. You have children there wearing the exact same helmet as, say, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part about me being an engineer is actually I've developed it all. I didn't outsource any of this. I went from what you see on my head, which is completely different. I'm not going to show you. That is proprietary. But to basically work our way to this smaller size, which when it's stadium friendly, it doesn't block your view. But you can take it on and off. That was the other thing, too. I don't like face paint. I don't like costumes. And I'm about to show you something real quick. For me, I can transform from super fan to just a regular guy. And this is the same thing. I'm in a game, so I'm watching. Uh-oh, we're on the 5-yard line. It's getting exciting. Time to get your game face on. You get the helmet on, and you're ready. You're ready for the cheering moment. Boom, you cheer, you high five, boom, and you take it off. You're back to normal. And that's what I wanted as a fan. I think a lot of other people want that too. Now, granted, I don't do that. I keep it on the whole game because I've now developed into a super fan, and I was awarded Ultimate Sports Fan from the What a Fan Sports Conference in Orlando.
Okay.
So I was basically for 2014 defined as the best super fan across all sports.
Congratulations!
And all leagues. It was actually pretty cool. We also worked with a charity called Fans Against Child Abuse at that time, and they actually won. Billy and I even won a free car at this conference because
what?
Of my. I know.
Wow.
For wearing a ball on my head, the positive attention has been crazy.
Yeah.
Just organically by me showing up to events, I've been in over 200 publications, including the Wall Street Journal. They've shown photographically. USA Today, Miami Herald, LA Times, Chicago Tribune. The list goes on and on. Even if you're on American Airlines this week and you go and look at your seat back at the American Way magazine, you'll see a picture of me wearing a Union Jack when I went to the London game.
Nice.
My product was shown on a U.S. Bank commercial. It has been shown in a Pepsi commercial. So I just kind of go out and get that kind of fun exposure.
It happens organically, it sounds like.
It's the purest grassroots form of a product. It's almost the American dream, you know, where the idea, and this is what everyone says, it's so stupid and obvious. It's just a ball on your head. How come I didn't think of that? And you're right. It does seem like such an obvious idea, but yet I was lucky enough. When I went to go get it patented, I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. And then, sure enough, they said, I effectively own a patent on a ball. You know, and how that's like owning a patent on a wheel. You know, and that's what I'm proud of is that I'm actually proud of that intellectual property side of it too. And that I recommend that if I didn't do that step, I would never have the confidence to go forward with it right now, because it has been a tremendous amount of time, money, effort to do what we've done. So
I can tell you, you stand out here, and
the whole point of this show is for businesses to stand out. And amongst all of those, you have one of the most vivid colors, most attraction to your booth, exciting for you. I'm really excited for you because I think as a new company, you're going to see tremendous success with this. And you're still in your infancy as far as getting it out.
Oh, and actually, not only that, what's cool about it, I agree with you because this is, it is like it is, it's such a fun product. That's the best part. As I always tell people that, like our motto is life is a ball. You know, it's about like, listen up, America, heads are going to roll. I mean, if you see it, like everyone who interacts with us just smiles. It's not business. It's mixing business with pleasure because if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. And at the end of the day, I always tell people this. I know I have a product here, but I'm a fan first. I still am a fan first, and that'll never change. So no matter what happens, I'm still going to be the same old wrecking ball at all the sporting events.
Yeah.
You know, cheering on my team because that's where the passion comes from. And well,
No, I was going to ask you, so where can people take a look at this? Because I know on a podcast, for them to visualize it, they need to see something. We're going to have some photos posted on our website, but where can they check out your product?
Well, so right now, like I said, this is the first time I've introduced it. My website is www.wreckingballhelmets.com. Wrecking is without the G, like because we are from Texas. And then bottom line, and by the way, everyone always asks about Wrecking Ball. I was Wrecking Ball before Miley Cyrus even knew what twerking was. So we've always had, and you know, Wrecking Ball was always known with sports vernacular. You know, either a really strong, awesome play or a player that was just dominating in his field. So For me, it was an obvious connection, and I just got lucky that I got a theme song out of it. You know, and then basically, if you go to that website, they'll see that, you know, we're set up for wholesale orders, and we're also doing pre-sales for several items. But right now, our focus right now is just to get our name out there, let people know, hey, we've just arrived, and in a very short amount of time, we're going to be able to purchase our product.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I want to appreciate, I appreciate you taking time to let us come and talk to you. Best of luck at the show.
All right.
And come on, we're based in San Antonio. Come down there. I know it might hurt you to put some Spurs gear on.
Well, you know, so my wife is from San Antonio. And what's funny, we always talk about it. Like, she, whenever we go to the Mavs Spurs games, it's crazy. And I actually have made a Spurs helmet for her once. We have a little niece who was a big Spurs fan at the time. And so I've had to, you know, and I've done that. But I mean, my loyalty is to the Mavs. But you know, I agree, though. I mean, It's something. I mean, we always talk about it. That was the one thing that we didn't know when we first started dating is that we're gonna be like, there's one day a year where I'm sleeping on the sofa.
That's right.
And that's when the Mavs play the Spurs. And
that's right.
And that is the passion of sports in our lives, and that even affects your relationship with your spouse.
And you know what's interesting though, during football season, I think San Antonio has a higher percentage of Cowboy fans than the Dallas area.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, and the Cowboys. See, I grew up in Canada, so you know, it wasn't just America's team; it was also Canada's team. Yeah. But that's also happened. I think back in the 70s, 80s, the Cowboys games always had broadcasting over the borders.
Right, right.
So I think that's why we've always seen that, because the Cowboys always had the highest ratings.
Yeah, and I actually went to a Grey Cup a couple of years ago and had a fantastic time.
So which one did you go to?
That I went to the one in Ottawa.
Oh, Ottawa, yes. Yeah. And, you know, I've been to a Grey Cup, way back. I think it was the 97th one. It was a really fun Grey Cup as well.
This one was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
we had
a
blast.
And, you know, they are fun. The Canadians have a fun way of not taking themselves too seriously. And that's also another inspiration. My mother is a 22-year breast cancer survivor. And she's always been she's always had this ideal of, like, never take yourself too seriously. Live your life with a smile every day and be... always made live life to its fullest, and this is almost a testament to her because of that exact that attitude and that passion for life.
Well, I can tell you, she's probably very proud of you because if there's anybody I've been watching from over there, and then when I came over, and you've had a smile on your face the whole time.
Oh, so yeah, that's
you're definitely living your mother's lifestyle is having a good time.
Oh, so. Yeah, and I know, and she, I know, you know, next year I'm sure we'll be able to get her down here too, and she'll be able to enjoy it for herself. So life is a ball, just like we always say, and it's like if I could do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd just keep doing it. Because I've met some of the best friends of my life I've met doing this. I've had some of the best experiences. I've met some of the coolest people. I mean, like I said, this has brought me close to a world you know, I've gotten to meet my sports heroes over the last few years, you know, and it's just opportunities that you wouldn't normally get. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because when I think it can't get any bigger, it just keeps getting bigger.
Take a meal. It's a barbecue. Turn up, do what you feel. Barbecue. Hey, hey.
In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Bond is strictly prohibited.